So good. If you follow on the website, the upcoming messages, Elizabeth puts them on the website. We have a pretty cool website now, if you haven't seen it, but she lists the messages that are coming up. And today, for October 21st, the message was supposed to be called Getting the Conversation Started. Well, something happened, something changed, because on October 8th, Eric Kovacs and I drove down to Liberty University, met Caleb and his dad there, and we got to soak in some great speaking, some great worship down there, and I learned a lot. The first morning that we were there, we were sitting in the room with maybe 100 other pastors, and there was a Dr. Dave Adams who opened up the conference before he introduced Jonathan Falwell to speak. But this guy, Dr. Dave Adams, he really moved me. He only spoke for a couple minutes, and then he prayed. But he made this statement. One of the first statements he made that Monday morning was, "The church is God's agency." And that really hit me, like, right between the eyes, like, right in my heart. And I thought, wow, that's powerful. The church is God's agency. And I felt like right then the Holy Spirit was saying, "Nick, I want you to speak on that. Nick, that's what I want you to talk about." So this is coming out was from that day. I started out the message by thinking, well, what are the synonyms? Because I'm into synonyms. I don't know why, but I love to look up words and see what other words correspond with that word. And when you look up the word agency, the synonyms are organization, group, society, bureau, activity, action. And when I see those words, I'm thinking, that's the church. The church is supposed to be like a society, an organization, a bureau of activities and action. Action, we saw last night, all the ladies getting together. That action was fellowship and gathering around a fire. And, you know, I ate too much chocolate last night, but it was so good. And it was a great time. And I just thought to myself, that's the church, the fellowship, gathering together, being a community, being unified. So Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "I tell you," and he's looking right at Peter in the eye. He said, "I'll tell you, you're Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Yeah, it's a couple thousand years ago he said that. And it's still true today. There are churches everywhere. Churches popping up everywhere. But the problem is that we don't really build the church. Jesus said, "I will build my church." And later that morning when Jonathan Falwell was speaking to us, he made these statements. We don't build the church. Jesus said, "I'll build my church." What matters is that we have a role. That's what matters. If we're Christians, if we're brothers and sisters, children of Christ, we have a role to do, and it's up to us to be faithful. How important that is. I'm telling you, faithfulness is huge in this generation where we see a lot of things going on in the world that really are against God or not for God, but he's looking for faithful Christians, faithful men and women who want to stand up for the word. He made a statement when he was talking, comparison is the enemy of success. Because we don't want to spend our time, you know, comparing what other churches are doing. We're just supposed to do what God has called us to do. And that is to take the word of God and make it known. That is to take the word of God and teach it and disciple people and get them ready. Because that's how you get set free. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And it happens when you receive him into your heart, when you say, "Lord," and it happened to us in 1981. I was 29 years old, and all of a sudden I realized I haven't been that good, man. God, I realize you died on the cross for my sins, and I realize that I have to receive you into my heart. I have to ask you to forgive me for all the sins that I've had. Jonathan Falwell made a statement to pastors, and it really hit me. He said, "Your greatest moments usually are not on the stage. Seek out those opportunities. Look for those people that God is bringing your past, whether you're at your job or at your neighborhood. Look for those opportunities where you can share Christ or live out Christ to people. God can heal what man breaks." And I thought to myself, as a church is God's agency, what does that look like? We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're supposed to pray a lot. We're supposed to work hard for Him. We're supposed to sacrifice where needed. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to love. I noticed how you said the word love today, Elizabeth. That's beautiful. We're supposed to forgive one another. He told us as pastors in that room on Monday morning that God calls you into the ministry to build God's kingdom. And then he looked right at us, all the pastors sitting in that room, and he challenged us by saying this: what are you doing to build God's kingdom? What are you doing to build God's kingdom? And my personal answer, because I soaked on that for a while, you know, I'm going to stand before God. And he goes, well, what was your, you know, what are you doing to build God's kingdom? And I thought, I want to teach them. I want to teach anybody who walks in the store. I want to lead them. I want to pray for them. I want to encourage them. I want to spur them on to go public. And that's what this series is about. If you're a visitor, you drove in here today, we saw our banner out there, go public. We want to take what God has shown us through His Word and what He's done in our lives and how He's changed our heart. And we want to go public with the gospel. We want to make a difference for Him. In Galatians 6, 9, and 10, it says this: let us not grow weary of doing good, for in a due season we will reap if we do not give up. So don't give up. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. It's so important. Don't give up living the life, sharing the life, sharing the gospel. It's so important not to give up. And then he said in verse 10, so then as we have the opportunity, and we do every day, really do every moment, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. So that word agency, I thought about it for a couple of days, and I thought about, well, when you go and buy a house or sell your house, you get an agent. And an agent will hopefully guide you into finding the best house that fits you and what you're looking for. So then I looked up the synonyms for the word agent, and that's where this message came about. Because I found seven words that are synonyms for the word agent. And they are manager, mediator, negotiator, representative, cause, driving force, or instrument. So this message is really about those seven words, those seven synonyms for the word agent, and how they fit into our life as Christians. Number one, I want to start with the manager. Who's the manager of us? God. God is our manager. Some great verses in Psalms: be still and know that I am God. Isn't that a beautiful way to start out a verse? God's looking at us saying, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Exclamation point. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 77, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You see the little g there and the big g there? Because there are a lot of little g's running around, but there's only one God. He said, you are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. So you think about that. That's a reason for us to be faithful. That's a reason why we should be faithful. It's unbelievable. 1 John 1:5, this is the message we have heard from Him and we proclaim to you. Isn't that a message for any pastor that speaks the word? This is the message we have heard from Him. This is the message we proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So the manager is God. Now we get to those synonyms, the mediator, which kind of means go between, and the cause. I put those together, the mediator and the cause, and that's Christ. That's Christ. He's the mediator. Look at 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man. That man, Christ Jesus. That proves it from His word. When you think about the word cause, you think about the reason, the grounds, the root, the source, the origin, the basis, the foundations. That's Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of everything we do. Hebrews said this: therefore, He is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Think about it. When you become born again, when you receive Christ into your life and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, you become, you're receiving that promise from him. And what does God promise us? Eternal life. That when we leave this world, we're going to have eternal life and spend with him for eternity. I can't fathom what that's going to be like, but we're going to be singing that song there. Kathy's going to know every word in that song when we get to heaven. Praise God. Praise God. Love you, doll. He goes, you may receive the promised inheritance, eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them, or you can say redeems us, from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Think about it. That death is Christ. He's the mediator. He's the cause. He's why we do everything. I love that. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first law. I love to see a cross because he ain't on the cross. He already endured the cross. He already despised the shame. He was buried and risen. Now he sits at the right-hand throne of God making intercessions for us right now. Seriously. No matter how we look, no matter how we dress, the people came in here dressed good today. I'm going to tell you, I was embarrassed. I'm going to dress better next week, praise God. You all look fantastic. I love it. Now we go back to two more synonyms for the word agent, and that's driving force and negotiator. And how does that fit into the Christian walk? That's the Holy Spirit. He's the driving force. He's the negotiator. Let me give you a couple passages in the book of John that just depicts the Holy Spirit for us so we can understand who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus said, if you love me and you keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. See that capital H there? Helper. To be with you how long? Forever. What a promise from God's word. When we walk out of here today and we've acknowledged him as Lord of our life, he gives us a helper, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But Jesus says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Isn't that fantastic? So I have to ask the question today, do you know him? Have you received Christ in your life? Because there's a promise, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you and will be with you. John, a couple chapters later, John 16, 13 through 15, when the Spirit of truth comes, capital S, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he declare to you, the things that are to come, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And that the Father had all that the Father has is mine, therefore I said to you, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That is so true. The problem is, we live in a world now where truth is really relative, where they will teach you, probably in public school, places like that, that truth is really what you believe is truth. It might not be what the other person believes, but that's a lie. That's a lie. There's only one truth, and this is the truth. And when you're spoken to something contrary to that, you understand that. When all that thing was going on with the Justice Kavanaugh and stuff, they had a special on NBC the one morning, and they had a professor there from a university. I forget the name of the university, Walmart, Target. I couldn't remember. But anyway, she's sitting there, had the glasses on, so she had to be intelligent. She had to be intelligent, had the glasses on. And Savannah Guthrie asked her the question, well, and the segment was, what do I talk to my kids about what's going on, you know, with this Justice Kavanaugh and stuff? And Savannah said, well, you know, what do I share with my kids? You know, what? And, you know, I want to share the truth about that. And the professor goes, well, you have to share what's true for you to them. And Savannah goes, wait a second, isn't there just the truth? Isn't there just the truth? And the professor said, no, not necessarily. And that melted me. I mean, that made me sad in my heart. Because we don't want to teach children, we don't want to teach teenagers, we don't want to teach anybody that truth is relative. What might be true to you might not be true to the other person. So the best thing I can say is that's not true. There's only one truth about the whole thing. So let me go on. The representative and the instrument. That's the last two synonyms that I want to share. I keep getting cinnamon and synonym messed up. The representative and instrument, part of the agent. That's us. I asked Elizabeth to put a line in there because you're supposed to put your name in there. Because every one of us is a representative of Him. Every one of us is an instrument that He wants to use for His glory. Seriously, when I was in college playing my trumpet, I didn't know the Lord. I just wanted to play my trumpet and play that instrument. But now that I know Him, when I play my trumpet, which is rarely, I play it for Him. You know what I mean? When I speak, I want to speak for Him. When I work hard, I want to work hard for Him. When I love on people and share with them, I do it for Him. When I'm going to have a shirt and tie on next week, it's going to be for Him. And I don't want you to get down because, praise God. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every boy and girl of every race, Jew or Gentile, who have repented of their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you become a representative of Him. You become an instrument for Him. 2 Peter 3:9 says it so beautifully. The Lord is not slow in fulfilling His promise, as some count slowness. But He is patient. I think earlier in our community group, Chase brought up perfect patience. It says somewhere in the Bible. Towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's a promise from God's Word. That's Peter saying, man, the Lord wants you. He created you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And He's patient. He's not wishing that any of you should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So then I look at that word representative and I thought, well, what's the synonyms for representative? If we're going to be a representative for Christ, Pastor Nick, can you give me some words that represent the word representative? And I thought, envoy, delegate, agent, spokesperson, diplomat, then one of my favorite words, ambassadors, or courier. Do you realize you are a courier for Christ? You are a courier to bring the gospel outside of these walls, and that's what going public looks like. So when He tells us, when we're a representative, we see that we're called to represent Him in His church. Galatians 4:10, which I read earlier, calls us the household of faith. Pastor Nick, can you show me some verses about going public? I really have never read the scripture that much, but does the Bible tell us what to do, what it means to be going public? Let's start with Matthew 22:9-10. Therefore, go to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find. Therefore, go to the main roads, go to the neighborhoods, go to your jobs, go to the hotel, and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out to the roads and they gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, so that the wedding hall was filled in guests. Because if you're a Christian and you're out there and saying, well, you're not good enough to go to church or you've done that, that's a lie from the pit of hell. We're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. We're all trying to grow closer to Him and understand Him more and live out that good and pleasing and perfect will He has for us. The last two verses in Matthew 28:19-20 says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that beautiful? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You hear that a guest from that beautiful hotel where you work at, your girl, Sherry Cooper, was baptized probably 3 weeks ago in the pool right here. Seriously, Jeff said, hey, can you hold her under a little bit longer? But, you know, I'm just teasing. But we baptized her. It was beautiful. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's And the Bible, there's no baby that gets baptized in the Bible. I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody that was baptized in the Bible was someone who received Christ into their heart. And then they were baptized. And that's why Jesus said, you know, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. How long are you going to be with me, God? To the end of the age. To the end of the age. Mark 16, he said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And you know, a lot of pastors kind of shy away from that because I don't really want to talk about hell because that's a place, but it's a true place. Condemnation is hell. If you leave this world without Christ, you'll end up in hell for eternity. 14:23 of Luke, the master said to the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. So when you see from those verses, you see these words, go and invite and find and make and baptize and teach and proclaim and compel. When Eric and Pastor Caleb and his dad and I were in there, one pastor said, and I think it might have been Jonathan Falwell, made a statement that in Christianity today, the average amount of times that a Christian goes to a church, once a month. That's the average now. That's sad. That's sad. And you'll see brothers and sisters going through trials and tribulations, and all of a sudden you don't see them for a while. And you think to myself, if you're going through a trial or a tribulation, this is the place to be. This is the place to come so we can encourage you and lift you up and pray for you. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear, well, you've done this or you're going through that. They really don't want you in there. We want you here. Faithfulness is all about. Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. And I don't think once a month is diligent. I don't think Christmas and Easter creases is being diligent. Think about it. Luke 24:46-49, he said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. If you want to go public, you're going to have to make a commitment to be a witness to these things. And behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed from power on high. And that's what Jesus said at the end of Luke. And I'm here today to proclaim to you that we've been clothed. We've been clothed. Look at Acts 1:8. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth, and Fauquier, and Prince William, and Loudoun, and all the counties, and all the states, and all the countries in the world will receive power. For the next 7 weeks, starting next Sunday at 9:30, we're hoping that you would show up for 7 weeks from 9:30 to 10:30 so we can do this series called Contagious Christians with you. Todd Damon's going to lead us. It's a great, there's a book. There's a great, easy read book, but it's just filled with testimonies of people sharing Christ with other people. And then there's a workbook. There's a video. I mean, we're going to do our best to prepare you, because I can sit up and say, hey, we need you to go public, man. We need you to go out and share the word, man. We need you to be ready. But we got to equip you. We got to prepare you. Peter said, sanctify the Lord God always in your heart. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. And we hope through this series we're going to give you a hope. Praise God. We're clothed to be his representative. I put in your listening guide, we're his envoy. We're his delegate. We're his agent. We're his spokesman. We're his diplomat. We're his ambassador and courier. If the band could come forward. Praise God. And the ushers. Let us not grow weary in doing good. For in a due season we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up seeking God. Don't give up going, getting into the word. Don't give up fellowshipping. So then as we have an opportunity, and he'll give us that, let us do good to everyone, and especially those in the household of faith. When I leave this earth, I think about what Paul wrote in Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's what we want to have happen here every Sunday. To realize that God is calling you and you're going to make that good confession, the best confession you've ever made, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and buried, rose again, and I want to make him my Lord and Savior. As you have always, be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. Come on, forward ushers, praise God. At the end of my life, I want to say what Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I was faithful. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. Father, I thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for the worship, Father. We're just blessed to be here. This church is yours, Jesus. We want to dedicate everybody here to you. We want you to manifest your spirit in a mighty way in each one of us, Lord, so that we can go out and be an ambassador for you, or envoy for you, a delegate for you, because we want to go public, because we have hope because of you, Father. We have a life. We have new life because of you, Father. And I just pray that you just keep pouring into us, Lord, as we go out and go public and bring people in here so that we can hear the gospel. And the gospel is that Jesus came, died for our sins, buried, rose again on the third day to pay the price for our sins. And the word of God says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave right to become children of God. We want everybody in this place to become a child of God, Father. I ask you to bless our offering, Father, and I want to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.